Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Legal Experts.
Good morning and welcome to another show of Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. This is Emily Rowell. I'm your host here again with Ryan McPherson. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Emily. Thank you for having me once again.
Absolutely. He's going to be my co-host this morning. And this morning, our hot topic for today is divorce.
Oh,
and that is definitely a hot topic.
That is a hot topic.
That's
it's
sure.
It's happening everywhere around us in this town, it seems
is.
Like, you know?
Yeah. But how we can actually help people that are going through divorce. So today, I have some wonderful guests. I have Shalimar Parham with Parham Law. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. We have Stephen Parker with Keller Williams. He helps individuals divorce houses.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to be talking a lot about it
today.
Learn
more about that today.
And then we have Beth Garrett with Fraser Dieter.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here. And she is a CPA who helps attorneys and people going through divorce. And I have actually a special announcement this morning.
You do?
I'm really excited about. Yes.
Oh, right.
For the first time ever, Atlanta Legal Experts is partnering with Lisa Decker with Divorcetown USA. It's a perfect topic for today. To bring you AL's first Divorcetown Mixer.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Is this for divorced people only, or can anyone attend?
It's for professionals that deal with divorce.
Anybody
in the professional industry.
Okay.
That deals with divorce, they are absolutely welcome to come to the mixer. And that mm-hmm. way they can relate and make contacts and know the family that pretty much get together to help.
Yeah, kind of a networking mixer, professional networking. That sounds good. And when
yeah.
and where is that going to be?
So it is a save the date, Wednesday, May 6th at 6 p.m. And we'll give more details as we go
at
along.
The location and time. But so far, Wednesday, May 6th,
yep.
6
Mark
p.m.
Your calendars.
I'm doing it now. Marking it down. Your divorce professionals mixer.
And there's one way that you can certainly find out more news. Mm-hmm. If you haven't yet become a member of our Atlanta Legal Experts LinkedIn group, you can do that as soon as possible, and we will be announcing all the details on that.
On the LinkedIn
group.
Page, right. Mm-hmm. And also you can follow you on Twitter, right?
Absolutely.
Right? And that's at Attorney Space, is mm-hmm. that right, for Atlanta
yes.
Legal Experts?
Yep.
Probably going to make some announcements or more information sharing it there as well.
Yes.
Good, look forward to that. I'm not on LinkedIn, so I'm a big Twitter guy, so
okay.
I need to make sure. That
yeah, you'll see it on there
okay,
for sure.
Good.
Absolutely. And this show has been brought to you in part by Peachtree Offices. You can view their website on atlantalegalexperts.com. And then 3A Law Practice Management as well. And their website is www.3alawmanagement.com. And they help attorneys build and grow their practice. So, back to the show.
All right, here we go.
Again, this is Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices, and I am welcoming Shalimar Parham this morning. Shalimar Parham is a native of Atlanta and is a community-oriented divorce and family law attorney. Shalimar is managing principal of Parham Law Firm, LLC, a family law boutique in Atlanta. She tirelessly represents her clients in divorce, child support, legitimation, and child custody matters. She obtained her Juris Doctorate degree from John Marshall Law School. Shalimar serves the community through her positions with various community and professional organizations. She serves as Executive Policy Officer for Atlanta West Economic Development, as a Board Secretary for Youth Connections, and formerly as Board Member of Cherokee County Court Appointed Special Advocates for Children. She also serves as a volunteer attorney for Clayton County Pro Bono Project and Georgia Legal Services Program. She is a member of the State Bar of the Georgia Law School Outreach Committee, a member of Georgia Asian Pacific American Bar Association, and a lot of other associations, which you will be able to see her full bio on atlantalegalexperts.com. She is also an alumni of the 2012 State Bar of Georgia YLD Leadership Academy. In her free time, Attorney Parham enjoys golf and scrapbooking.
Wow. Okay.
Thank you.
I was terrible at scrapbooking.
I'm terrible at golf.
All right, that too.
Yeah.
I'm terrible
right.
at golf too. We're so glad to have you this morning.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So let me ask you a couple questions here. How should someone choose a divorce or family law attorney? What are the important steps?
Well, thank you for that, Emily. I always advise people, or I think it's a good idea for people to ask their family and their friends who they have used in the past. That way you have a personal recommendation from someone that has personally used an attorney.
Right.
Some people have the tendency to choose an attorney based on the geographical location of the attorney's office, and that's the worst decision that you can make. You want to choose an attorney that you trust, because this person has basically your life in their hands.
Absolutely.
So it's someone that you should trust their expertise and their skills, and someone that you feel comfortable with talking to them about your personal issues.
And your firm is a boutique law firm, is that correct?
Yes.
So tell me more about that.
So I don't focus on high volume. I take on cases based on whether or not I can help the individual. I provide personal attention to my clients from the initial consultation up to the trial. I don't pass my clients off onto an assistant or a paralegal. I personally handle all of the important details of all of my clients' cases.
So some advice for people looking. Would you say to interview a couple people that they have heard from friends or family members and make sure that they have a jive, you know, they jive with the people that they, you know, end up using for their services?
Absolutely. When you're dealing with divorce or custody, you should interview a couple of attorneys.
Kind of like with your doctor.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this person is going to, what they do or don't do will impact your life for a few years going forward. Also, if there's a consultation fee, pay the consultation fee. If an attorney charges a consultation fee, that just means they value their time and they are going to work diligently for you because they value their time and they receive.
Right. And that way they can keep those people that really know that they're working for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome. So tell me a couple questions here. Are you seeing fathers fighting for full custody of the children?
Actually, yes. I am seeing an upward trend of fathers that are fighting for primary custody or even joint custody. Fathers are taking a more proactive role in being a part of their children's lives. And I am seeing more fathers that do not want to see their parenting time cut drastically in half because of a divorce.
Right, right. So how's that working out? I mean, what's the factors that take place for that?
Absolutely. So in the state of Georgia, a father absolutely has the right to fight for custody if this is in fact what they desire and if it is in the best interest of the children. What the courts look at when they decide which parent will have primary physical custody or whether joint physical custody is applicable or appropriate in the situation is what is in the best interest of the children or the child. So some of the factors that the court will look at is the bond between the child and the parent, the bond between the child and any siblings or half siblings, the home environment. The court will look at which parent typically was the person to take the child to the doctor, the parent to go to the PTA meetings, the parent to take the child to extracurricular activities. The court will look at each parent's job. Do they have a flexible job schedule? Do they even have the time to have the child full time?
Right.
The court also looks at the mental and financial stability of both parents.
That's
Is there
smart.
A substance abuse problem? Is there a history of domestic violence? So the court looks at a number of factors. So I advise fathers that are seeking custody to sit down and think about what you do for the child, what the mom does for the child, so that we can strategize to get you the most parenting time or to fight for full custody if it is appropriate in the case.
Gotcha. So what is the difference between legal and physical custody?
Absolutely. So legal custody refers to the rights of the parents. So this is typically access to medical records or access to school records. In Georgia, it's pretty standard for parents to share joint legal custody. Physical custody refers to the amount of time that each parent spends with the children.
Gotcha.
So the standard is for one parent to have primary physical custody, meaning the child lives usually Monday through Friday with that parent and every other weekend, split the holidays, split the summers with the other parent.
Okay.
And then we have joint physical custody, and this literally means that the child lives 50% of the time with mom and 50% of the time with dad.
Okay. Okay.
And speaking of the joint physical custody, how do you find that affects the children in a positive way, or does that make it more difficult for them, especially if the parents live across town and may have to go to different schools, or how does that play into factor?
Absolutely. And the typical attorney answer is it depends.
Okay.
But it really just does depend. You alluded to the fact if parents live far away, if you're more than 15 minutes apart, then usually, especially with Atlanta traffic, it's just not practical.
Right.
You have to think about the burden on the children of having to wake up extra early if you are a great distance from the child's school. Also, just the child themselves having to pack a bag depending on how you try to do the joint physical custody. So if you're more than 15 minutes away, typically I advise my client that maybe you need to think about a different arrangement for your child. Mm-hmm. But if you are really close, if you do live really close to the other parent, then it may be feasible and it may be best for the child.
Right. And, you know, that could be a possibility. But then what are the factors that you look into other than the distance away for the divorcing couple with the child's interest at heart? What are some of the factors you take into consideration, making sure the child is actually having, a good school schedule, a good routine after school and all that?
Right. It really depends on the child's extracurricular activities. It depends on both of the parents' work schedule. It depends on the child's ability to cope with moving so often. It depends on the parent's ability to each have separate bedrooms, separate clothes, separate everything to make things easier for the child.
And I'm sure it depends on the age of the children as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, the older child might be able to deal with going back and forth, whereas a little child that needs a lot more attention.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I was going to add it to that, say that maybe it's the number of children involved. If there's two or three kids all in separate ages, that make it even more difficult, where one child may be able to accommodate the joint custody, but physical custody, and then the other ones are so young. How does that play into your decision as well?
Absolutely. If you are correct, the more children that you have, the more difficult it is to practically move the children mm-hmm. from home to home. And these are all the considerations that the parents should keep in mind and not be selfish and think about themselves, but just think about what is in the best interest of the children.
Because that's what it is about, mostly the kids, making sure they have a stable upbringing, they can have, you know, continuity with school and extracurricular activities, and not about the parents, you know, in that case. So.
Right.
Their situation.
That's right.
Right. And usually when you have children, that's about the children.
It should be.
yes. No doubt. But unfortunately, some parents.
So what are some of the common mistakes parents may make that hurt them in that custody fight?
Right. Unfortunately, the most common and the most detrimental harm that I see in the custody cases that I handle is where there's one parent that uses the child as a pawn and denies access to that child to the other parent, whether it be not following an existing visitation order, or if there's no visitation order, just saying that, no, you can't have the child unless you do X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Also, another common mistake that I see that hurts a custody case is whenever a parent denies the other parent access to talk to the child via the telephone, email, text messages. I've heard excuses as ridiculous. Oh, the child is on punishment, so I had to take their cell phone away, and that's why you cannot talk to the child. Right. Or I cannot afford a house phone, when clearly they can afford a house phone. They just don't want you talking to the child.
Right. Wow.
And these are games that parents should not play.
It doesn't look good.
Absolutely not. But unfortunately, in my litigated custody cases, these are the things that I'm most commonly seeing. And it's so sad because it doesn't do anything but harm the child.
Right.
And you could lose custody if you can establish a pattern of this type of misbehavior. And if you just show that you're incapable of co-parenting, that in and of itself can harm your custody case.
Why do adults act so childish sometimes? I don't understand.
I'm telling you.
You're right. And then they do. It's all about them, and not about the family. And,
right.
Not such a good thing.
So I have a question for you. What if the parent is the one that the other parent is keeping that child away? What does the first parent do about it?
Right. So if the other parent or your spouse or your ex or what have you is keeping your child away from you, what you can do just depends on whether or not, if first, the first thing you need to do is see if there's an existing court order. If you have an existing court order, then you have the right to take the other parent to court and file a contempt action against them.
Gotcha.
And that way you compel them to show to court, and you can get a court order saying that they are in contempt, that they need to do X, Y, and Z to purge themselves of contempt. And typically that includes makeup visitation time. If there is not an existing court order, then you need to go to court and get a court order so that you have established parenting time with your child. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned before, when you are denying access and you are not following a visitation order, that's something that can actually cause you to lose custody of your child to the other parent.
And that's the least thing you want, the last thing you want to happen.
Absolutely.
Sure. Well, it sounds like you really take care of each individual client for your firm. And I'm so glad that you actually take the time to learn about their lives. And it just sounds like you're not taking the whole caseload of like a bunch of clients, but you're doing one at a time. And I just think I'm sure they appreciate that. Why don't you tell our listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Right. So you can go to my website at www.parhamlaw.net, or you can give me a call at 678-439-1482, or send an email at sparham, that's P-A-R-H-A-M, at parhamlaw.net.
And where are your offices located, and what part of towns do you serve?
I serve all counties in the state of Georgia, but I have an office located in Cobb Galleria across the street from Cumberland Mall, and I also have a satellite office in Jonesboro.
Excellent. All right, very good.
Wonderful. Yeah. And just to remind our listeners, we are here today, Tuesday morning, a little bit dark still out there, and we are Atlanta Legal Experts Radio. Our show has been brought to you today by Peachtree Offices at www.peachtreeoffices.com. and 3A Law Practice Management, www.3alawmanagement.com. And that's the number 3.
Yeah, thank you to those fine folks over there for putting this on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So now we are going to introduce Stephen Parker.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Sure.
His national real estate team, and he is with Keller Williams, and they specialize in serving the professionals of the family law/divorce care industry with effective and proprietary real estate assessments, resources, and tools that will encourage and empower their clients into a new chapter of life. I love that.
Thank you.
How did you get into this? That's probably a very long answer.
Exactly. Once upon a time.
Right.
Well, we've been self-employed, entrepreneurial, most of my adult life, and been in real estate since about 2000.
Okay.
And it was just an odd series of events that you mentioned it that did bring us here to this today. But in the early part of the 2000s, we were working with builders and developers and helping those folks find land and lots for new construction and things.
Okay.
And then in 2006, those guys came to us and said, "We're not buying any more land and lots."
Right.
You know, so the end was near for us at that point. Mm-hmm. So we went through a period and season where we thought it was going to get better for us, and it just unfortunately never did. Yeah. Burned through a lot of our savings and all of our assets to try to keep things at bay. Unfortunately, it just never did get better.
Yes.
Had a new home at the time, 3 kids, and it got to a point where we were getting foreclosure notices on our own home.
Wow.
Yeah, and being self-employed, not having any income, it's hard to pay the bills. We had to find out what a short sale was back before anybody else knew what a short sale was. And I was successful in getting ourselves through that process and walked away from that, from the foreclosure and just started a new chapter in our lives. And from there, it really evolved into a process to where I turned to my wife and I said, we're gonna help other families, and we're gonna help other families avoid foreclosure. So
actually went through it personally.
Oh my goodness, the sleepless nights and watching the ceiling fan go around and around,
yes,
wondering how it's gonna make it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, we helped hundreds of families avoid foreclosure, and it's been a great thing. It's been really rewarding to be able to do that mm-hmm. on a daily basis. We got on the radio and started telling our story, and folks came in and said, "You know what? That sounds a whole lot like me, and please help."
Yeah.
Fortunately, the economy has gotten better. Mm-hmm. And most of us have either been through a short sale or ended up in foreclosure or got some type of loan modification of sorts.
Right.
And so that need and that business model just slowly started to dwindle away, which is a great thing. And so about for the past 2 years, as we were thinking about, you know, where we might be and what we're going to be able to do, and again, try to serve more folks, as we sat at a lot of kitchen tables, we found that as the finances were going bad, well, a byproduct of that was the marriage was going to be going bad as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so it just kind of came into a different mission where we were going to be working with families going through divorce and be able to pour into their lives and just, again, empower them to something better. And the house is just a really major part of this whole process.
Absolutely. I after reading your bio and everything you do, I was thinking, he divorced houses.
Yes.
Divorces houses.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes people say we represent the house, you know, instead of him or her.
Right.
Try to play neutral ground there sometimes, which is very important.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so you also work with attorneys as well.
Yes.
I would obviously guess family law attorneys. Other prominent attorneys that you work with?
Yes. We got relationships with Kessler and Salamiani, mm-hmm. Meriwether and Tharp. You know, just a multitude of different folks, but not only the family law attorneys, but therapists, counselors, support groups, church groups, everything like that, where there's an audience of people seeking help. Mm-hmm. That's where we're going to be.
Awesome. Now tell me, so how do you help those people in those fields, you know, for the clients?
Right. Well, so many times when the house is the largest asset or liability, whatever the cause may be, the professionals are going to need, first of all, a basis, you know, an appraisal perhaps, something like that, mm-hmm. to just establish a value on the house. But then take it from there. It seems to just stop right there. Okay, the house is worth X, so this is what we're going to do. Unfortunately, if you're not able to come in and take a look at the condition of the house, you're going to start uncovering a multitude of different problems that are going to follow this individual who may decide to keep the house into the future. You know, how old is the house? Very expensive things possibly could happen. We've seen instances where everything was great. I'm taking this house. This is mine. This is all I got. And then when it comes time that, down the road they need to make something else happen, there was $40,000 worth of foundation issues on this house that nobody knew about.
Gotcha. So you kind of guide them through the process more
absolutely.
Than just this is what it is and that's what you get.
A more detailed forensic study on the condition of the house as well, so that, if repairs need to be made, they're addressed right now during the divorce process and it's not a mistake or something later.
Mm. Mm. So tell me, when is the best time for an industry professional to call on you as far as...
Yeah, exactly. Just like I mentioned, I think that during the divorce process is when we're able to bring the most value to the table. We prepare a complete forensic study for the professionals so that they are able to discuss this during the divorce process and have a conversation with the other side of the table. Look, this roof is at the end of its lifespan, and that's a $20,000 roof. And these HVAC systems have never been replaced, and, they're not working so well. So what are we going to be able to do to work together here now to get these issues addressed? How much is the house worth? It just really seems to stop there, but there's just mm-hmm. so much more past that everybody at the table needs to figure out what we're going to do for this now. If we're going to take on this, then just don't leave me hanging with this.
Right, mm-hmm. right. All of a sudden, I've got all these issues with my house, and where were you this whole time?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. So how does it come down to who gets the house? How do you decide that between the man and the woman? If they're both wanting it, but you both want to stay there, how does that come into play?
You know, oddly enough, I've not come across a situation where it ends up where they both want to keep the house. There's a saying that we have in this process. You can count on one thing in a divorce, and that's two addresses.
But we don't know who's going to which address.
Exactly.
So sometimes is there I would say, the man should defer to the woman and let her have the choice of the house.
But there's the attorney, I think.
yeah, that too. But they're definitely, not in agreement at their relationship. So how do you get them to come to agreement on who gets the house?
Yeah. you know, oddly enough, the dynamic turns out to be, does anybody need to keep the house? Is really where I think it does turn out, you know, where you see that so
can
much.
Can you afford it anymore, right?
Yeah. I think, you know, Shalimar's nodding her head here, that it just really does seem to be the situation where divorce tends to be so emotional. And they let those emotions take over a lot of a logical, type of mindset that whether or not they're going to just hit the reset button or the easy button and just fall back into something else that makes, you know, more financial, fiscal sense for a little while versus just being emotional about it. And, you know, I'm going to keep the house. No, I'm keeping the house.
Right. Yeah. So those facing divorce are not sometimes able to make these financial decisions, in a reasonable manner because it is so emotional. So what advice do you give them or what other coaching kind of can you steer them to?
Well, there's really kind of a trifecta here at the table today with thinking about things with a three-legged stool, emotionally, financially, and legal wise, so that you are going to get educated, plug in as much as you can, Google things, look stuff up online, find support groups in your area. You're going to need to be educated. And so many times when we do hold these workshops and things, they still have this deer in the headlight looks, and I want to kind of shake them a little bit and just, don't you realize that this is really sage advice that you are getting right now? And, please, pay attention to that. So again, it's, when we were losing everything, it took me a while before I woke up, it's kind of not a speed dating process, but it's a quick education in a dire circumstance,
Because this is why you are the professional. I mean, they need to come to you to get the professional advice, but then they also do need to become a student because they're going through this. They're, this is their life.
Right. We advise them to find margin, period. Personally, relationally, don't get into another relationship right now. Financially, get some margin. This is a time that you need to be focusing on the now, so that your future is going to look much better.
I love that.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Thank you. So it sounds like you really do. Again, kind of like Shalimar, really help people on the emotional level and personal level. Let our clients or let our listeners know how they can reach you, and then we'll come back around the table to do the hot topic discussion.
Sure. You can see us on Facebook at Team Serve First, as well as you can reach out to me via email at StephenParker@kw.com, and that's Stephen with a V. Our phone number is 678-776-0628.
And I see you're also on LinkedIn as well, so people can find you there, reach out to you that way.
Stephen E. Parker on LinkedIn.
Stephen E. Parker, right? Okay, good deal.
And Twitter?
Do not have a Twitter account.
I need to sign you up. We'll make that happen.
Yeah, I need to get my Instagram going too. Okay. There's always something new I got to plug into.
That I don't have either. Uh-huh. Right. Instagram. Awesome. Thank you so much for being here. Again, this is Atlanta Legal Experts Radio, and we are discussing the sadness of divorce, but also the way that you can make it through, I think, and get to the other side. And I have Beth Garrett here. She is a partner at Frazier & Dieter. She is the head of divorce litigation support practice. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Thank you so much for being here. As a partner in the divorce litigation support practice at Frazier & Dieter, Beth Garrett primarily assists high net worth individuals and corporate executives with divorce, tax, and accounting issues. She helps with the division of financial and real estate assets through mediation and works with the family practice attorneys through all financial aspects of divorce and child support matters. She is frequently involved in cases to uncover hidden assets and income and assists with the preparation of reports to be used in settlement negotiations and at trial. She works with attorneys and clients to prepare business valuations, trace separate property, and value complex retirement assets, and assist with budget preparation.
Okay.
Really good.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, can't wait to hear more about this.
Yes. So tell me, what type of case is it helpful for you to get involved with the parties during a divorce?
I think from the onset, when you're looking at a case, anyone who has a business that they own personally, if they're not simply a W-2 employee, if they get paid in some unique way, whether they're self-employed or they are in a partnership with other owners, that's just going to add a level of complexity to the divorce that I think it's important to have a financial person take a look at it. If there's separate property issues, maybe one party came into the marriage with assets or they inherited assets during the marriage, age, that's also going to be something that they're going to want us to take a look at. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the complex retirement assets that I look at. If there's some sort of plan such as stock options or perhaps a pension that a lot of the large accounting firms or large law firms have that needs to be valued and it might not be able to be divided simply, then that's also something that we want to take a look at.
So you do a thorough financial investigation, it sounds like.
It is very thorough. I've actually spent lots of time in clients' basements going through 20-year-old boxes, and wow. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that does sound interesting. Kind of a financial detective.
Yes, in a lot of ways. I wouldn't say the majority of my job is looking for hidden assets. I think everyone thinks that's what I do all the time. That's definitely in a small percentage of the cases, but a lot of the cases start out that way, and then it's just a matter of explaining to the clients that you can pay me a lot of money and I might not find anything. So.
Right, right. So I would guess as a CPA, you work with some financial advisors as well, as maybe their personal financial advisor?
I do, yes. Yeah. So I'll work with financial advisors at the beginning of the case because they have a lot of the information.
They've done the homework for you.
Already kind of know where the client's assets are. And then a lot of times at the end of the case, I'll recommend different financial advisors to the clients because there might be a client who has never had the relationship with the financial advisor before. Perhaps they're spouse has, and now they're getting some sort of settlement, or they're going to be getting some payments where they're going to need to have that relationship.
That's so important. Mm-hmm. Yes. At what point of the process do you actually get involved in a divorce?
I really think it's the best for me to get involved as early as possible. I can help people with gathering documents. I know what questions to ask. I help attorneys with actually completing the discovery request so that they're asking for the right documents. And if it's really far along in the process, sometimes there's not enough time for me to really help, or I'm happy to help whenever I've been called when they have going to court the next day. But I don't think that's how I can be the most beneficial to the client.
Sure. You can't do your best unless you know everything.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you typically represent one side or the other?
I don't. I think it comes in waves. Sometimes I'll have all female clients, and then all of a sudden I'll have all male clients. I think for a while it felt like it was mainly female clients because I think a lot of the times if the male was the kind of income earner and felt like they had a handle on everything and they might have their financial team in place, but I don't think that's necessarily the case anymore. I've really represented both sides. And I've also done some work where I'm actually in neutral and I'm working for both parties.
So you're just finding out what assets are out there, but then you don't determine how it gets divided up.
No, I help a lot with how it gets divided
up,
actually. Yeah, especially when it comes to looking at the tax consequences. That's one of the reasons that I think it's helpful for me to get involved early is because I can really be with them through the whole process, and then I actually will attend the mediation and I'll be putting together a balance sheet, and depending on the offers that are going back and forth, I'll be showing the client what it looks like on the balance sheet, how it's being divided, how it's going to affect them, what kind of retirement assets they're going to have versus cash versus the house. All assets are not the same. So kind of giving them advice in that area.
And what are those determining factors that you look at going forward, whether they were a couple who got started out, didn't have much money, maybe had a career, married many years, 20 plus years or more, then they have retirement assets kind of waiting on them. I mean, there's a lot of complicated levels there that you've got to figure out. So what are those factors that you look at? Who gets what?
There's a lot of factors. I think age is a big part. I'll have clients that are towards the end of their careers. And in that situation, we're looking at what kind of Social Security will each party be entitled to. And I'll actually do cash flow analysis to really show the client, this is how much money you're going to have each month going forward. If they're early in their career where maybe one spouse hasn't worked, but now that they're getting divorced, they're going to need to go to work, we'll talk about what kind of job they can get. Or if they're younger, the retirement is not going to be something they can really tap into right now unless they absolutely have to. They're going to pay taxes on it, though. So we'll talk about the retirement. We talk about the house. And if that, like Stephen was saying, if they can really afford the house, a lot of times there is an emotional tie there, but you kind of have to be realistic that maybe that isn't the best place for them. So we have some tough conversations, definitely.
Mm-hmm. That sounds like you really go and you're personally involved with everybody as everybody is here. And I keep saying that just because that seems like the theme today. And it's just great to see that support for people that are going through such a hard time.
Absolutely. I think that's really the main way that I I can be kind of in this area, which is such a tough area, but I get to have conversations with people that they don't typically have with their accountant. Mm-hmm. So I really do get to build relationships with people, and that's kind of what's kept me in this.
And so speaking of relationships, so you obviously help attorneys. So I would say you would have relationships with mediators, any other type of industry that you really work well with?
Definitely the family law attorney. That's usually where my cases would come from. So mm-hmm. I don't as much get calls directly from clients. I do definitely occasionally, and I'm happy to help them and maybe even point them in the direction of an attorney mm-hmm. that I can also work with. But also health insurance professionals, financial advisors, as we spoke about, real estate agents, kind of all areas. Because as I'm building a relationship with a client and kind of moving forward, if I'm going to stay helping them financially or with their tax work or something like that, I get a lot of those questions.
So tell me, is there any specific tax advice you would give these clients that are going through a divorce?
I think it's important to look ahead at the future. A lot of times, one of the issues that I run into, especially if I'm preparing a tax return for a client who's been divorced, attorneys will often put things in settlement agreements that the IRS doesn't really agree with. So just because you say it in your settlement agreement doesn't mean it's possible. So I think to really think about that, think about the dependency exemptions. Who is that really going to benefit? What is that going to be going forward? A lot of people have carry forward losses still left over from kind of the last few years when times weren't that great. There might be some net operating losses. And it's really important to have somebody take a look at your tax return and tell you, okay, when next year, when you're filing as two separate individuals, this is how these things are going to look.
Wow, that is really interesting.
Yes, no doubt about it. And is there ever a case where someone may come to you prior to the divorce, where they want this kind of information, maybe not another attorney reaching out to you, but the individual themselves, where they want to get their financial house in order before they go to the divorce attorney?
Yes, definitely. Typically, they're coming to me to ask, what do I need? What documents do I need to have? What is there? And so I'll kind of help them with explanations about getting together tax returns. A lot of times I'll tell clients that your CPA is your CPA, even if you've never talked to them before. So a lot of times with my female clients, if they're calling the CPA asking for the tax return and the response they get is, well, I need to ask your husband, that's not the right answer.
No, yeah.
Same with the financial advisors, just because they haven't talked to them. If the accounts are in joint name, they're entitled to those statements. So I think really gathering tax returns, gathering bank statements, a lot of times they don't have to go back way far in the past unless it is going to be some sort of separate property tracing or some sort of issue like that. I've gone back many, many years to trace things for clients, and that just adds to the documents that you need to gather.
Yeah, again, that financial detective, that's what you are. You find out every penny, where it's out there or what's about to come down the road, and you can put it all together there for the clients. That's good stuff.
She's a numbers girl.
That's right. Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. Tell our listeners how they can reach you.
My website is www.fraserdeeter.com, and my email address is beth.garrett, and that's G-A-R-R-E-T-T, at fraserdeeter.com. My phone number is 404-733-1742.
And we so appreciate everybody being here today, and I guess we're going to go ahead and open up for a roundtable discussion so that we can just further talk about the issue of divorce. Does anybody have any questions to get started? I know I have one,
yeah.
But
yeah.
Okay. This is for Shalimar. Just say that your client doesn't like the outcome that the court made, the decision that the court made, or say they've lived it for a while and they just don't think it's fair. What options do they have at that point?
Well, if they don't like the outcome of the final judgment and decree based on the judge's ruling, you do have a certain amount of time to file a motion for reconsideration. Where you're asking the judge to reconsider their decision. Obviously, since you're asking the same judge that made the decision,
right,
likelihood of the judge changing their mind is not that great. Mm-hmm. You also have 30 days to file an appeal. Divorces are automatically appealed to the Supreme Court of Georgia.
Okay.
However, in most instances, by the time you figure out that it's just not working, it's been more than the 30 days.
Sure.
So at that point, you can maybe file for a modification to modify some aspects of the divorce, like custody or child support or visitation. With visitation, you can file for modification every 2 years with custody, there has to be a substantial change in circumstances. And this is something that I stress to my clients that want to change the custody, is that there absolutely has to be some substantial change in circumstances. So depending on what you're unhappy with, there may be a recourse or something you can do to change that.
Well, that's a little bit promising, I think, for sure.
Right.
So I have a question for Stephen. Sure. Also, has there ever been a time where neither parties wanted the house because they just know that all that stuff is baggage in their mind and they don't want to have anything to do with it anymore?
Right. Yeah, sure. Certainly. A lot of times there's unfortunate circumstances, bad memories. But, you know, what we like to see is when folks try to think of, a positive outcome for this, you know, maybe I want to move back home with the family. Mm-hmm. Maybe for me professionally, this means I'm going to have to move to a different part of the country to get a job. It's a tough time, but it's the biggest, reset button, that anybody has a chance on taking, you know, right now to really recreate themselves, reinvent themselves, and, look forward to the future with something. So, right. You know, it's a relational end. It's going to be a new beginning to so many other things, that you might have a chance to, build, stronger relationships with family, friends, and, have a better outcome financially with your business opportunities too.
Right.
Well, so I'm a single guy. I've never been married, but would like to one day. Is there any advice you may give a guy like me going forward from either any of the tables here? Like, financially, should I have some documents that I bring to the table, or maybe should I retain a divorce attorney prior to marriage since it's so popular these days? Any advice along those lines?
I think I never tell my clients to plan for divorce, but I do think there's some financial decisions you can make, especially if you've had a career, if you're getting married after you've been working for a while, you probably have some retirement saved up. Retirement's actually the easiest thing to kind of keep because you can't put that in joint name. I'm sure Stephen sees with the house, everyone titles the house jointly, and there's some case law in Georgia that even if you owned it free and clear when you got married, you kind of put it in jeopardy when you title it jointly. So I still wouldn't say that you plan for divorce, but it's just it's important to keep records, have an idea of what you had going into the marriage. I think the most most beneficial is really for people who are getting married later in life and might have adult children. That's one of the main reasons that they really do look at the financial picture, because they want to plan for their kids. They might have some estate planning in place all the time already. And so I think it is important to kind of have an idea of what you had, and then you can maybe create a separate pot for what you're going to earn together.
Would you consider a prenuptial agreement?
That is the case.
That's kind of a pre-divorce agreement in a sense. I mean, you're kind of planning for everything to go wrong.
I think with the estate planning issue, that makes it a little bit different.
Okay. Well, that's good stuff. Yeah, good info there. I'll keep that in mind. The other question I had was, so you mentioned, Shalimar, that you should reach out to a divorce attorney through a friend or someone you know. And a lot of times I'm friends with couples, and I don't know to take the wife's advice or the husband's advice when they're getting divorced. So in that case, I guess I got to go outside of my friend network to find someone. How would you determine, you know, a reputable or a good divorce attorney in that manner?
Right. So I would say, start with, if you're working with a marriage counselor or a real estate agent or a financial planner, start there. If you're not working with any of those professionals yet, you can go on the, I hate to say it, but you can go on the internet and Google for attorneys. However, if you're doing that, be very careful. You know, check up on their credentials, go visit them, talk to them, make sure. Right.
Do the interviews like
we
mentioned
before. Absolutely.
Is there a big price discrepancy out there amongst divorce attorneys? A lot of people might just go with the cheapest route.
That is the worst decision you could ever make when choosing a divorce attorney.
Price should not drive your decision.
Absolutely not. And if they are the cheapest, you should wonder why they are the cheapest, because attorneys that value their time and know that they are good at what they do, they will charge accordingly.
Right. Well, they divorce attorneys often give you maybe past clients that you can reach out and talk to. Is that something you do? I mean, if I wanted to talk to some people you've helped in the past to get their kind of professional advice as well?
Well, because of the rules of ethics, that's something I don't do.
Okay.
But I just advise clients, just if you just go talk to the attorney, you can kind of get a good vibe mm-hmm. of whether or not they actually know what they're talking about or if they're just
right
out there to take your money.
So first you would advise your go into your personal network and then maybe your professional network. And outside of that, if you have to, go to the internet, but do your due diligence when searching for a divorce attorney.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And do you spend a lot of time in the courtroom? Is that something you enjoy as well?
Yeah, I love going to court. I don't with divorce and family law, I'm not in court a lot, but I love the preparation. I love the time prepping my clients, getting to know them even better, strategizing, and I always feel like I'm doing good when I can get the outcome for my client. Mm-hmm.
Is there a percentage of divorces out there that that are contested versus uncontested? Do you like working with both of those? I'm sure the uncontested is a little easier. You know, but right. How does that work out?
Well, I don't know the percentage, but of course the uncontested is easier, but I love the contested because that's when I actually get to help with the complex, the difficult, the complicated situation that a lot of people would not otherwise be able to handle on their own.
Is there any unusual things that you've had couples fight over, you know, an old piece of jewelry or maybe some oceanfront property or something that's been, you've come across? Yeah. Anything, anybody out there found something in your financial detection that you...
Something they're fighting over?
Yeah, something they're fighting over other than the house or something different that you may come across.
I've seen it go down to plates on the in the dining room really? Cabinet, you know.
Sure. It, yeah, it can be anything.
It's malicious sometimes, a little bit crazy, mm-hmm. but encouraging you on finding a good girl. We'll go back to that real
okay.
quick. I ask your mom what she thinks about her.
She keeps telling me to go to church.
Well, that's I'll second that opinion.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Stay out of the bars. Meet the women in the church. Stay off online dating as well as what she recommends. That's, you know, kind of a sea of messiness out there as well. So I'm still searching.
Yeah, very good. Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah.
Moms always know best. That's
yeah, she
sure.
does. Well, the piece of advice she always gives me is you'll find a girl when you stop looking.
Mm. Yep.
Well, Mom, I've been looking for 42 years. Mm. You know, how do you stop looking? That's like being unemployed and not look for a job. It just doesn't happen. You've got to kind of put yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah.
But luckily, I'm a renter. I don't own a home. So, okay. you know, maybe I can that won't come into your wheelhouse, so to speak. So,
Yeah. You know, actually, what we do a lot of work with renters.
Okay.
You know, sometimes it's not, you know, somebody's not going to be able to get a loan. She may have not had a job for most of this mm-hmm. this time in the career where she has been staying as a you know stay-at-home mom, which mm-hmm. is my wife's a stay-at-home mom and her job's 10 times harder than mine, mm-hmm. you know. But so you know, renting is definitely a factor in many of these cases.
I bet it is. And then you know, you're renting a place and then you meet someone and then you think about getting that house together.
Yes.
Is that something you would advise right out of the box, or do you suggest maybe living together first? Right?
Well, you know, again, I the margin thing. Let's not talk about the new relationship right here, right now. I think it's good to just, you know, let some time go by, mm-hmm. let's gain some wisdom and, you know, just try to relax for a bit.
Yeah.
You know, why? Let's not trade one relationship for another right now.
Yeah.
If it's meant to be, it'll be there in 2 years from
That's
now.
Good advice. Mm-hmm. You should be a dating counselor as well.
Yeah, you know, we do real
Might
estate,
as well.
But
yeah.
The real estate side of it, you know, we got that part. That's not a problem to mm-hmm. do. We just like dig in and have a relationship with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there ever multi-houses that families may own? Like we mentioned a minute ago, some vacation homes. Do you deal with that as well?
Sure, certainly. You know, mountain property, beach property, of course, you know, the local stuff or, you know, maybe, we've had instances where there's multiple rental units mm-hmm. and you can't look at the rental income. Beth may be better resource on this, but it turns into a business at that point when there's multiple rental properties. Mm-hmm. It's going to have more value than just the street value or the retail value.
No, that's good.
And you represent, Beth, the high net worth individuals. So obviously they're business owners. I'm sure that affects their business as well when they're going through a divorce. Can you tell me a little more about that?
Yes, that can be a huge factor. We do spend a lot of time actually preparing a business valuation. It might not be something completely formal as it might be if you're selling your business or in mergers and things like that. But we definitely take a look at the value of the business and we have to figure out how to divide it. If it's a business that one party or both parties own, and more than likely only one party is going to be continuing in that business. So sometimes there's a payout that needs to be done, or in the best cases, there's other assets that we can offset with when we're dividing things. But a lot of times the business is the asset, and so there might need to be a payout over a term of years. That can definitely make it complicated. And I would say that's an area where it might not fall into the category of high net worth individual. Sure. They might be more just middle class, or I mean, just every day, but they own a business and that adds a complexity to it. So that's where I do serve a lot of high net worth clients, but not all of them come into that area.
That's interesting, because I'm sure a lot of families, you know, when they start a business, they're in it together, you know? So, I mean, having to split that up, I mean, that's very complex, sounds like.
It can be, especially when they want to continue operating that business, one party or both does, that kind of adds to it.
So I'm going to ask the question that some of you may not like, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Any stories of any individuals that you've represented or talked to before they went through the divorce and did they actually change their mind?
Oh, I love that.
Change their mind about the divorce?
The divorce, yeah. Decided they wanted to stay together. Can you tell me a story without naming names, obviously?
Well, I can't really go into a lot of details, sure. But I have, well, what I can say is that I have had more than one client that calls me and says that we decided that we want to reconcile, or I get, you know, a motion from the other party to dismiss and I'm reading the facts and yeah. Mm-hmm. So it happens often than not.
Oh, that's wonderful
to
hear.
It does happen.
That's
good. What about couples who divorce and then want to get back together like years down the road? I've heard of that happening this day and age. Is that it throwing a kind of a curveball to any of y'all's situation?
I have heard of that. I have not encountered that personally yet. Cause obviously they're still together. So they're not coming to me, but I have heard of that as well.
Yeah. I would love for that to happen every time. By no means are we an advocate for divorce. I'm facing 20 years with the same girl next week.
Congratulations.
So thank you.
Yay.
That's a blessing.
Three kids, right?
I have four now.
Four.
Wow.
All right.
Three when Armageddon happened, and now we have four. So, but
keep up the good work.
Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate it. And it's great. If that kind of reconciliation can happen, go for it. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, that's great to hear that you take those cases and you're okay if they want to get back together. I mean, some people,
absolutely.
You know, some attorneys just say, well, you know, they might do some vindictive things in the background to make them.
Right, yeah.
You know,
just make sure you have your financial documents in order. Make sure you've got your name on the house. But if that's not the case, you can certainly call Shalimar and she can sort it all out for you.
Well, and that's one thing that I tell my clients or my friends really all the time is there's a lot of things you can do to kind of prevent it well down the road before you do get to that place. And I think communication is the biggest thing. So many of my clients, and I deal with long-term marriages, that a lot of times I'll just say, what did you talk about for the last 30, 40 years? Mm-hmm. Because you didn't talk about how much money you make or where the money is or how you're going to invest it. And I think you need to just really be in control of your finances for your entire marriage. You need to be partners. I don't think it's a matter of getting married and just handing everything over to one party or the other. I'm a CPA, so I know that I'm always going to be managing my finances. I'm always going to have a handle on that. But I don't think that's the case. You never know what's going to happen. Even if it's not a divorce, you might suddenly need to become the wage earner where you haven't before. So I think it's important to be aware of your finances and be in communication with that other person.
I think communication is very important on all levels to keep a healthy relationship, for sure.
And I was just going to say, just to piggyback on Beth and just knowing your options, it's not uncommon for a married person to visit a divorce attorney just for a consultation, just to know what, if we were to file for a divorce, what is the divorce process? So that's something, just because you're going to a divorce attorney doesn't mean that you've made up your mind. So listeners out there, like if you're just thinking about it, absolutely just have a consultation.
Mm-hmm. And then what if that's your really spouse good. Got wind of that? Wouldn't they feel kind of, oh no, I've got to do something before they do something. Then there's this back and forth there.
Right. And I have had that comment made to me. Mm-hmm. Pay your consultation fee in cash.
Okay.
Or use your separate account. Yeah.
Good idea.
Talk about it.
Yeah. And don't tell your friends. Don't put it on Facebook or anything. Absolutely. You know, don't check in at the divorce attorney when you're still have a healthy marriage going. That's true. Because that often is the case. You you know, you hear or don't communicate with your spouse, one of them may be thinking the grass is greener on the other side, or they want to explore their options, go and talk to the divorce attorney when they realize really the best thing going is to stay
together.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I know I learned a lesson when I went into the financial world, and I was piggybacking what Beth said. I was just ignorant to what the finances were. And then I went into the world. I kind of got catapulted into the world in 2008 when everybody was looking into different things. And I learned so much about being aware of your finances and also your on life insurance, who's your beneficiaries? And that's something I'm sure you take into account after a divorce as well. You know, you might have your old ex-spouse as the beneficiary and you don't even realize it. And then you go through the divorce and something happens and then he's getting all the money, or she. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, very, very important to be on top of your finances. Mm-hmm. So any other?
No, I just, you know, everybody get another chance to give their information out or where their offices are located, how people get in touch with you. So Shalimar, once again, please share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Yes, Shalimar Parham of Parham Law Firm. Website is www.parhamlaw.net. Phone number is 678-439-1482. Email sparham@parhamlaw.net.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for being here today, sir.
Yeah, Stephen Parker of Team Serve First, Keller Williams, First Atlanta. And we'd just encourage anybody, if you have any questions or concerns, our initial consultation is free for those professionals so that you guys can get that education and at least a little bit of a snapshot where you're at.
And where's your office located?
We are in Sandy Springs, right at 285 and 400. Service all of Metro Atlanta.
Good. Yeah, so very easy for people to find you. Stop by for that free consultation. Get that information, you know, squared away before they make any emotional decisions.
We'd
right?
love to see them. Absolutely.
Very good. All right.
And Beth Garrett with Fraser and Dieter. Our website is www.fraserdieter.com. And my email address is beth.garrett@fraserdieter.com. And we're located in Midtown. But again, I kind of like Shalimar said, I'll go anywhere in Georgia pretty much. But I spend a lot of time in the metro area.
Oh, very good. Thank you for being here today. And again, give a shout out to 3A Law Practices
mm-hmm.
for making this happen, and Petrie Offices. Mm-hmm. If you're looking for some office space and you're an attorney, you can go to Emily Rowell here. She can make that happen. So how can people get in touch with you on those?
Yes, they can go to PetrieOffices.com or email me at emily@PetrieOffices.com. And my direct line is 404-250-3200. And I really love the show today. I love the team effect that these people are providing for mm-hmm. these clients. And again, if you are a professional that works with any type of divorce, you would be interested in our Divorce Town Mixer coming up. Again, save the date, May 6th at 6 p.m. It's a Wednesday, and we'll have more details to come. So if you don't have people that you could work with to really help mm-hmm. your clients, this would be a great mixer to help meet those kind of people.
Oh, I think it would be professionally, personally, and just overall to get to know the people behind the microphone here too as well, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome.
Yes. So thanks again. This is Emily Rowell with Peachtree Offices and Atlanta Legal Experts Radio signing out.